You're listening to KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. Coming up now here on KVOE, it's time for Saturday Morning Sports Talk.
PT Associates of Emporia now offers blood flow restricted rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And welcome to Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com, the final Saturday Morning Sports Talk for the month of January.
Wow, this, January's gone by really fast.
Yes, it has. So we're blowing through this month. Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood again here with you in studio. Blake Cripps out in Hayes, Kansas, mm-hmm. where he will call the Emporia State Hayes games later on this afternoon. I tell you what, a full schedule of basketball across our airwaves here today. Of course, the Lyon County League basketball tournament going on KVOE FM. We have the Glacier's Edge tournament going on KVOE AM. We'll have, of course, Emporia State on the mix later on today. K-State actually is the first game on the docket early this mm-hmm. morning on Country 101.7 FM. And with all the basketball that we're carrying, we have no place to put the KU game today, so no KU Iowa State. You will not find that on our airwaves here later on today.
It's on CBS, everybody.
There you go. So, as I mentioned, basketball is certainly the main topic of conversation as we get into the later stages here of the month. Let's start off with, what a great game for the Emporia High girls last night in the Glacier Girls Tournament, playing a really, really good derby team. And going into the half, it looked a little bit bleak, although you had a whole second half left to go, but down 11, and credit the Emporia High girls, what a gutty performance against a really good opponent.
Yeah, and that's that's a signature win for Carolyn Dorsey and this group of 12 seniors. That one was a really fun one to call. When they came out in the second half and started chipping away little by little, they were able to press Derby, got them sped up, and Emporia High found ways. Tied the game at 29, got down again, but still had a small deficit. Big three-pointer from Lexi DeWitt to give them their first lead with over 3 minutes to play in the fourth quarter. Had a chance to win in regulation. Offensive rebound after Emil Bennett missed the second of a two-shot foul. And then once the overtime started, Bray I won the tap, and Addie Kermer got to the bucket. Bray I took the lead for good. And that one was fun. I wonder how much energy is going to be in the tank for this group. They're going to play a Blue Valley team that's 9-2. Got a girl by the name of Jaden Wooden who's going to go play for J.C. Hoyt at Oklahoma State. This is going to be a challenge. I think it's going to be another good matchup for the Lady Spartans. But what's left in the tank for this team? I think they can do it, especially playing four extra minutes last night. Getting to sleep in their own beds last night, I think that's big. They're going to shoot around here in a little bit, go through a walkthrough and go through some adjustments. But 2 o'clock this afternoon, the 8th-ranked team in 6A in Blue Valley take on the 6th-ranked Lady Spartans. Really, really good one. And Emporia High back in the tournament title game for the third consecutive year. A lot of this group lost it last year on a buzzer beater by the Stahl Bomber girl for Seaman, who actually lost their first game last night to Wichita South in the Capital City Classic. Come out and support these girls. This is This is a good stretch coming up, a great opportunity to see these girls. This is a fun team to watch. Their losses to Hayden back in December, they won seven straight, and they need your guys' support here this afternoon and trying to win the Glacier's Edge tournament for the 15th time in program history.
So, yeah, the girls get a 61-53 win in overtime. They're now 9-1 on the season. Addie Kermer, a huge night with a career-high 30. Just a really, really nice win for Emporia High. An opportunity to get a good win here today against Blue Valley. Again, 1:40 pregame here on KVOE and a 2 o'clock tip. That's the championship game. As far as other games out there today, they will begin play at 11 o'clock in both gyms. The seventh place game, Lawrence Free State against Wichita Southeast.
That consolation semifinal between Free State and Shawnee Heights, very brutal. 73-24.
Yeah, that was a long night. Yeah.
And Wichita Southeast, I believe Hutch got him by 15, I believe. It was like, I think 49-34. But Wichita Southeast and Free State to play for seventh.
And then in the fifth place game, Shawnee Heights will take on Hutchinson. Again, that game also at 11 o'clock. That will be in the main gym. And then your third place game would be Derby against Highland Park. So a couple of old Centennial League schools in the tournament here this year, Shawnee Heights and Highland Park.
Yeah.
And then, of course, then again the championship game against Blue Valley. So good day of basketball at the high school. As Dylan mentioned, certainly go out and support the girls. They are a very, very fun team to watch.
Yeah.
They will entertain you, and obviously playing some very good basketball now, winners of seven consecutive games. It'll be a rare doubleheader for Emporia High today, in that it's a makeup game for the boys. They will play that later on tonight, mm-hmm. a makeup game against Manhattan. So once we get out of the championship game, we'll have a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
And then get ready for the boys'
contest.
And
give me a little break, too.
Give you a little break. yeah, 5:45 pregame, 6 o'clock tip on the boys' side. Again, that's a makeup game against Manhattan.
And Manhattan will be coming in here, coming off a buzzer beater overtime loss to Blue Valley in Overland Park last night. Mm. So that should be a good game. Yeah. Man, the boys had opportunities, but I can tell you this, Tim, but my key for the boys tonight, they need to have a good third quarter. That was kind of the difference maker in Thursday's loss at Junction City. Even though they only lost by 5 to a team that's ranked 9th in 6A, now at 11-2, you know, it's not a bad loss. They're going to learn from it, and playing a good Manhattan team who has given one of Junction City's two losses on the year.
And then, of course, downtown, the Lyon County League Tournament, what a historical tournament. 103rd year of the boys' tournament, and I think that's the 59th on the girls' side.
I believe that sounds about right. Ted Van Ocker, tournament director for year number 47, trying to get to 50.
That's right, and I'm sure he'll make it.
I think he will.
Yeah. Play gets started at 9 a.m., as a matter of fact, just some 36 minutes away with the seventh-place games. The girls' side of it will be Southern Coffee County against Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
Boys' seventh-place game is Southern Coffee County against Meritazine Valley. You'll have your fifth-place games, the girls' side, Waverly against Burlingame, and then on the boys' side, Hartford and Waverly. Our coverage will begin just a little bit before 3 o'clock with the third-place games. On the girls' side, that would be Madison and Meritazine Valley. Madison lost to Lebo yesterday, 53-36. It was all Olpe in their contest over Meritazine Valley, 73-37. Boy, Katie Robert, a huge night, 32 in that game for the Olpe Lady Eagles. On the Lebo side, Audrey Peake had 24.
Yeah.
So it will be Madison and Meritazine Valley for third, Lebo Olpe for the championship game. That will be a rematch from last year. I believe that was a – I think that was an Olpe win, was it not?
Or
was it
Lebo? Lebo. That Lebo, was a
yeah.
Lebo win.
Lebo won that one, yeah.
Olpe beat Lebo right before Christmas.
So it will be a rematch of last year's tournament championship game. And then for the boys, the third-place game will be Burlingame against Madison. Lebo beat Burlingame 57-38. Olpe knocked off Madison in a runaway 72 to 35. Dominic Risner had 26 for Lebo in their game. Brecken McGuire had 22 for Olpe in their win. And so it'll be Lebo and Olpe, same two as the girls' game for the tournament championship, just like last year, I think.
Yeah.
Last year it was Olpe beating Lebo on the boys' side, as Olpe will be looking for their third consecutive tournament championship. So plenty of basketball downtown, a lot of basketball out at Emporia High. So a full day of hoops across the city of Emporia. Yes. So you certainly have your choice. Heck, take in a couple games at each location and certainly make sure you get out and see the Emporia High girls later on.
And boys are fun too.
Yep, they are. And you know, they played a very good Junction City team on the road, had opportunities. Just couldn't quite get over the hump. As you mentioned, third quarter was the key in that game.
And that third quarter, the only time it's been huge where they have played a full third quarter from the start of the second half to the end of the period, that game last Thursday at El Dorado against Wichita Collegiate.
All right, let's go ahead and take our first break here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. When we come back, we'll have a little visit. Dylan will have a visit with Emporia High wrestling coach Brooke Madrano. You're listening to Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
The new year is here, and at Longmont Auto Plaza, we have some great ways to start your new year in a new Chevrolet car, truck, or SUV. Get up to $6,500 off MSRP on a new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 when trading in a 2010 or newer vehicle. Or save up to $1,500 on a new 2024 Chevy Blazer. Plus, you can take advantage of great interest rates as low as 1.9% on select models with approved credit. Don't forget, we are looking for great used car trade-ins for our inventory, and we are willing to buy your extra vehicle or give you our highest trade offer. You'll get the same great customer service we provided for three generations too. It's our commitment to you at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. So come see us today or visit us online 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Get our best deal every day at Longbine Auto Plaza. Chevy, find new roads.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. Congratulations to Stanford's Tara Vanderveer, who became the winningest coach in college basketball history last Sunday with her team's 65-56 victory over Oregon State. Vanderveer's 1,203rd win broke her tie atop the list with former Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski. Her iconic career in women's basketball has spanned over 50 years and includes three championships, five National Coach of the Year awards, and a gold medal as coach of the 1996 Olympic team. Vanderveer played at Albany and Indiana and became the head coach at Idaho in 1978. After a brief stop at Ohio State, she took over at Stanford in 1985. During her time in Palo Alto, Vanderveer has led the Cardinal to 13 Final Four appearances and three national championships, most recently in 2021. After Sunday's record-breaking festivities, she reflected on win number 1203.
It is a big number, and I'm very appreciative of the great players I've coached and the great places I've been. You know, the attention it's brought to women's basketball, so many great tributes. I really am very humbled.
Fairway rolling next on This Week in the NCAA.
It's game day at Jim's house, and the spread is impressive.
Mike's already done some damage with the hot wings, and now he's dropping back and going deep for another slice of pizza.
I sure hope he brought the Pepto.
Mike knows the Pepto-Bismol provides fast, five-symptom relief from unexpected stomach upsets. He's no rookie.
The way he's throwing back those nachos, he's the GOAT.
Be ready for game day with Pepto-Bismol.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
University of Alabama golfer Nick Dunlap, who became the first amateur to win a PGA Tour event since Phil Mickelson in 1991. The 20-year-old Dunlap won the American Express Tournament, making him the youngest amateur to win a tour event since 1910. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Back on Saturday morning sports talk, Dylan Sherwood with you, and it's time now for our visit with Emporia High boys wrestling coach Brooke Madrano. And coach, you know, you had the winter duels last weekend. You went 2-3, but seeing some good competition, and I know this first couple of meets that you've had over the first couple of weeks of this month have been tough, but, you know, how are your guys just battling to, you know, adversity and just trying to get through things?
You know, it's kind of expected right now. I kind of set the schedule up like this so that we could see the very tough competition and see what it takes to be to wrestle at a high level. So, you know, we're a little, you know, a little beat up, but that just comes with the sport, especially this time. You know, we're still really, really young, experience-wise. So I think I only have, what, 3 or 4 returning varsity wrestlers, but you know, I'm really really proud of the effort the guys are putting in on the mat. And you know, this past weekend was pretty tough. You know, we had Rose Hill, Washburn Rural Derby, Wichita West, who else was there,
let's see, Dodge was there.
Yeah, Dodge,
Wichita West,
yeah,
that was also there. But you ended up winning 2 of the 3. Going back to that tournament, you know, Isaiah Morales was big. He had an undefeated day. But who else did you think wrestled pretty well in that dual tournament?
I thought both of my heavyweights, Jose Vargas and Josiah Bradley, they both competed really well. Especially Josiah just didn't get to wrestle till this second semester, so... I'm expecting good things from him. Isaiah wrestled really, really good. He's starting to learn, you know, we're just going to outwork people. You know, so he's got a good gas tank on him. Trying to think here who else. They're all tough. Holden Timmons.
Yeah, I was about to mention Holden. That was the other one that came to my mind.
Yep. Wrestling really well right now. He's young. He kind of gets kind of heavy over the weekend. If he could just control that, I think we'd see even better when it comes to the mat on the weekends. But yeah, and I'm really proud of him. I think as a coach, you know, it's how we finish. So I'm trying to heal some guys up this weekend and sending some guys out. Just doing that type of thing that I think is best for the team. Sometimes it shows a little bit in the duels, like if we don't win the duel, but you know, it's regionals of states really where it matters. People remember that. So we're just competing, trying to have fun. 'Cause right now it's kind of a drag. It's the end of the season. You know, they just not having as much fun as they were before, but, it comes with the sport. You gotta be mentally tough. So, we had a great practice this morning. Especially coming off of last week, you know, number one, all class Rose Hill, what is Washburn Rural number 4 all class?
Wow.
Derby is what? I think they're 7th in 6A. I mean, we just, Dodge City's ranked in 6A. I mean, they're just all. So if, you know, people would look at that, then they kind of understand where we're at. But, you know, for the whole thing, I think we're right on track where we need to be. Just, you know, tune up some things and hopefully good things happen soon.
Who's there? I know there's been some other guys that have been, you know, in the lineup and whatnot. You know, I really like seeing Jeremiah Huber wrestle. He's been a good addition for you. And then Tayton Irvin, you know, he's currently ranked at 165. Maybe he's out of the rankings now, but he's been ranked in the rankings this year in 5A.
Man, I got a handful of guys that are right there on the bubble of being ranked. Tayton Irvin, you know, he's showing up doing the right things and it's showing on the mat. So I'm really, really proud of him. We just got to relax sometimes. I think maybe the ranking kind of got to him a little bit. You know, feels like he has to keep it, but that's not wrestling. You know, you just need to go out there and compete every time you step on the mat. And, you know, you win some, you lose some, and it's just learning from those mistakes. Jeremiah Huber is just a good person to have in the room. Wrestles tough on the mat, does the right things in the classroom, does the right things at practice. He's just an all-around great kid, and yeah, he's turning some heads.
And I believe he's like the third Huber to wrestle for you within the last 5 years, I believe.
He is. And they got an older one, too. But he wrestled, came through the program before I got there. But, yeah, all three of them. And, man, I tell you what, they are just some good kids with good work ethic for sure.
Visiting with Emporia High boys wrestling coach Brooke Medrano here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. And, Coach, you go to a tournament today, you know, at Chanute, and you're going to see a lot of quality Southeast Kansas teams. Chanute always having a good tradition-rich program, and I know their girls have won a state title, and they're good. So you're going to see some good quality competition here this weekend.
Definitely. We'll see Mill Valley. We'll see Bishop Carroll. I mean, there's Chanute's always tough. Paola's tough in 4A. I mean, it's a really, really good tournament with a great hospitality room, too. I thought I'd throw that out there. But
Chanute was pretty good when the boys basketball team always went down there for the Ralph Miller Classic. It was kind of different this year not going to Chanute. So, but, yeah, hospitality down there in Chanute's pretty good.
Well, hopefully I don't have to spend too much time in there. That means my guys aren't wrestling very good. But, yeah, we're excited to go there. I think I'm going to sit out a couple guys, my varsity guys, just because they're a little beat up. And then we got league. So, really, after this tournament is league, week off, regional. So, I want them 100%.
Yeah, and league is a week from today. And where's league at? I believe Manhattan.
Manhattan.
So, and the girls will be at Manhattan, too. Yep. So, your daughter, Kinsley, doing some good things. she did some good things at Newton, and, mm-hmm. you know, I believe was a top four finisher at Olathe South this last weekend. So, yeah, it's in the household, isn't it?
I guess so, yeah. She's doing great. Her work ethic's awesome. I'm glad I get to go to Manhattan. I get to watch her wrestle instead of doing it over FaceTime with my wife, you know. But she's, you know, technically probably wrestling the wrong weight class. She's, you know.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's probably giving up, you know, eight pounds every time she steps out there. She could wrestle 120, 125, but she's doing what's best for the team, which is pretty awesome. I'm glad she's going up there. And we looked at it, 125, 130, it's both going to be pretty tough to get on the medal stand, and that's her goal. And she's just got to go, you know, one match at a time. And, I'm super proud of her. She's a great young lady.
She's got to do it the Medrano way, right?
Hopefully. We'll see. I got two little ones coming up, two boys coming up, too, in a
Cruz
couple of years.
And Takeo.
Yep. So, it's going to be – if it's not busy enough right now, I mean, it's going to only get even more busier.
Business about to pick up. Real quickly, regionals in a couple more weeks down the road, Arc City, I believe?
Arc City.
Yep, and that'll be a two-day tournament, top eight. Finishers qualify for state, and you know 5A West is always loaded.
Oh, man, it's ridiculous. just for example, at 126, Isaiah Morales, I mean, he's right there. We beat a couple of ranked kids already this year. He might go into that thing, the eighth seed. That's how tough they are. The top eight guys in the state are at his bracket. So, you know, I'm telling him, hey, man, let's just make it to the show. You know, so if we can get to state, we got a really good chance of placing. Yeah. So, his mindset's right. And, you know, other ones are just like that. The brackets are just loaded. And the main thing is just being able to hit a reset button. Yeah. You know, if we lose a match, you know, we got to filter that out and be ready to rock and go win two or three more on the backside to just get to state. So, yeah.
And what's big for you guys over these next couple weeks? You mentioned that you're resting some guys today, getting ready for league and everything because, you know, it starts counting here in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. Definitely is healing up, making sure our grades are right so we don't have to focus on that. We can just focus on task at hand, and that's just qualifying for state. You know, maybe weight management a little bit better with some of these guys. I told them next week I'm going to have weigh in every day, and we weigh in every day, but they can't leave till they're at a certain weight. And you know, they might think I'm strict, but it's definitely going to pay off when it comes to you know, the last day before we got to make weight, especially with two-day tournaments. You know, you don't want to have to cut so much water weight that your body's just retaining it. So, yeah, we're doing that, and, you know, we're having fun. We had a swim practice on Tuesday.
I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, we did some mindset training with Noel Torres, you know, former alum from Emporia High.
State champion, yep. National champion at Newman.
Yeah, and he's part of the national team for Mexico.
Yeah.
So he did some mental training with my guys. And so we're just trying to just hit that reset button for this, you know, just okay, just task at hand right in front of us, what's ahead of us, not behind us, heal him up. And I think we have that week off before regionals. I think we're going to take the guys bowling, some friendly competition there. Some of them think they can out-bowl me, but I don't think it's going to happen. But, yeah, we're doing things like that. And, you know, we talked today that most of our wins are going to come from outworking people. So, you know, just getting that gas tank up and just being physical and staying in matches. You know, a match is 6 minutes. Just because you get taken down in the first, you know, minute, 2 minutes doesn't mean the match is over. So being able to just, you know, just keep grinding a match through. And, you know, I think the guys are up for the task.
Well, Coach, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for coming in. And best of luck the rest of the way. We'll be following you guys at regionals, getting updates from Curtis Simons, and we'll be at state as well. We'll talk to you again soon, Coach. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me.
That is Emporia High Boys Wrestling Coach Brooke Madrano joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We'll take a break, and Blake sits down with Emporia State Baseball Coach Brad Hill. That's on the other side here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongBineAuto.com.
Actually, we'll shift gears. Won't take a break at this point. Tell you what, we will get to Brad Hill here momentarily as Blake will have a good conversation with the Emporia State baseball coach. Before we do that, let's go ahead and quickly do our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week before we forget.
And I got those selected. For Emporia High, I'm going to the boys bowling team. And Colton Swift helped lead the Spartans win their quad on Thursday. He ended up finishing first with a series of 707. So Colton Swift of the Emporia High Boys Bowling Team is our Emporia High Emporia Main Street Athlete of the Week. And we're going to the Opie Boys Basketball Team for our Area Athlete of the Week in Brecken McGuire, 22 on Wednesday night, 21 last night. He's only a freshman. So Brecken McGuire, our Emporia Main Street Area Athlete of the Week.
All right, so again, coming up, Brad Hill, the Emporia State baseball coach. Of course, we'll have Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, to wrap things up, talk about the big AFC championship game tomorrow against the Baltimore Ravens. So let's squeeze in our second break here. Of course, Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com. When we come back, we will visit with Emporia State baseball coach Brad Hill.
The new year is here, and at Longbine Auto Plaza, we have some great ways to start your new year in a new Chevrolet car, truck, or SUV. Get up to $6,500 off MSRP on a new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 when trading in a 2010 or newer vehicle. Or save up to $1,500 on a new 2024 Chevy Blazer. Plus, you can take advantage of great interest rates as low as 1.9% on select models with approved credit. Don't forget, we are looking for great used car trade-ins for our inventory, and we are willing to buy your extra vehicle or give you our highest trade offer. You'll get the same great customer service we provided for three generations too. It's our commitment to you at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. So come see us today or visit us online 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Get our best deal every day at Longbine Auto Plaza. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Whether you're buying your first home or moving into a new home, getting your home loan with Emporia State Federal Credit Union's convenient and easy. Emporia State Federal Credit Union knows the local market. They remain number one in mortgage lending in Lyon County by giving members flexible programs and down payment options, low closing costs, and fast underwriting. Visit esfcu.com to apply today. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA, NMLS number 424226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk, driven by longbineauto.com. Obviously out on the road today, out in Hayes, America, getting set for the Emporia State Hornets and Fort Hays State. But earlier this week, I got a chance to catch up with first-year head baseball coach Brad Hill as the Hornets get set for their inaugural season in the Coach Hill era at Emporia State. Well, Coach, first season on the bench here. How excited are you to finally get started?
Plenty excited, no doubt. You've been a couple years since I've been in college baseball, obviously, and just the excitement and preparing the team and watching the kids, you know, as each day kind of approaches, you know, kids are getting more and more excited and some of them more and more nervous. But, you know, again, we're ready to get going, I'm sure, and you can only be in that indoor so many days. And guys were telling me this is the most they've been indoors in quite a few years, quite honestly. So I thought it was kind of the norm, to be honest with you, to be indoors like this. But they're saying they've been outside a lot the last few years. So hopefully we may be able to get out here the next couple days before we head down to Evan. But if you don't, it is what it is, and you go make the most of it. And it's a big learning process anyway, these first 3 weekends before we start conference. It's going to be a live evaluation, make adjustments, and helping the kids kind of get accustomed to again, a Coach Hill style play.
Obviously, you know, being a Kansas State head coach for a number of years, and you got a couple of Big 12 trophies up there in your office, you are no stranger to being at what they call one of those cold weather schools in baseball. How do you kind of adjust, and what, I guess, do you think the dynamic is at Division II? I know at Division I, it's considered a pretty big deal to be at you can't have success at a cold weather school. Is it like that at Division II?
I don't think so, because, again, you have, you know, regionalization, number one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't end up playing at the end. There aren't teams that, you know, that have good records that may travel across the country in Division I for the parity side of it. In Division II, you're going to play region. So cold weather schools are going to have an opportunity to be in Cary. And that's probably the biggest difference. But, you know, there's plenty of good schools. Again, when I was at Central Missouri, Mankato State obviously was very, very good. And there are a number of cold weather schools that are very competitive. So I guess you consider Kansas a cold weather school. I don't know. Or the schools that are here at Central Missouri, we did fine. So yeah. I don't think it's a whole lot different in Warrensburg, Missouri than what it is in Emporia, Kansas. You deal with what you have, and you make the most of it, and don't make excuses. You know, make excuses.
Last year's team for Emporia State, when you come in as the new head coach, I know that there are some coaches that want to diagram and diagnose and look over every little bit of what last year did, and some that said, you know what, with me, you've got a clean slate, and we're going to start totally fresh. What was your approach with this team and in terms of the guys that you have that were coming back from last year?
Yeah, I think we tried to do that for the most part. Is, you know, new coach, go out and prove yourself. But obviously there's some statistics that were very glaring, too, that we had to focus on and trying to improve upon. So obviously for me, you know, looking at a couple things, the ERA was extremely high last year. So, you know, can we find a way to lower that? And how do you go about lowering that? Is, you know, I know it's pretty easy to say, well, give up fewer earned runs, but it may be make more defensive plays. It may be eliminate walks. It may be make better pitches in situations. Don't fall behind in the counts. There are probably a number of reasons why that ERA was pretty high. And the strikeouts offensively were extremely high. So we're focusing on that, trying to cut down the strikeouts. Can we just put the ball in play, you know, another 100 times? You know, you get some errors, a few base hits in there, and all of a sudden there's a few more runs scored. That could change the scores on some of those games. So just a couple of key things we're trying to really improve upon. respond without, like I said, dissecting the whole thing, just a couple key areas that we really have been focused on trying to improve.
Brett Hill is my guest. He is the first-year baseball coach returning home here to Emporia State. When people come out and see your team this year, what would you classify and consider as the style of team that they should come to expect here for the kind of program that you want to build at Emporia State?
Right. We want to be a very aggressive team. I think people want to see a team that plays hard, plays aggressive. We want to, you know, be a pressure-type team, kind of balance out those stolen bases and do those sort of things. I mean, they want to see guys get on and off the field, play hard, not drag out the game, and just compete. You know, those are the type of things that we just want to, you know, we want to resemble those type of things, and people want to come out and see your teams play hard and compete. And like I said, hopefully we fall on the right side of the score a few more times.
There are a lot of coaches that put a lot into the off-season workouts. And I'm sure that off-season workouts are important, but there are some that, you know, they really want to see guys perform in fall ball, and that's a big deal. And there are other coaches that say, man, it's so far away from the season, it doesn't matter that much. How do you feel like the fall went in terms – I don't know what kind of a coach you are, but how do you feel like the fall went for getting accomplished what you wanted to get done?
Well, it was. It was different because no one's proven anything. So they were trying to prove themselves to me. So we put a lot of stock. We did rankings every week, evaluated players every week. Position players, pitchers, defensively, you got evaluated, and we posted it so guys could see each week where they stood. And the guys were number one and guys at number 20. And, you know, some guys that started high finished kind of low as the fall went along. Some guys started down low, kind of rose their stock a little bit. So I think you earn opportunities in the fall. And again, as we get going and some guys prove themselves, you know, I mean, again, if you have a guy that's a first team all conference, hits 350, has a great summer, you know, that guy doesn't really have to prove as much when he comes back to you in the fall. But these guys all had to prove themselves to me, so it's kind of a clean slate, but at the same time, they were being evaluated each week. The guys that finished at the top, you know, of the rankings, got a little bit of a break coming back. They kind of got shoved into that starting lineup. But again, as we work through these next weeks, we've also seen a couple guys make a move the wrong way or the right way. So just because you had a spot at the end of the fall doesn't mean you're going to be the starting guy out there on February 1st.
Well, obviously, since you're charting everything, and we're here with Brett Hill, head baseball coach of Emporia State, getting started just after February, though I will remind you, and Don would tell you the same thing, every baseball game that is scheduled in the month of February is merely a suggestion, nothing more. But based on the numbers that you've been tracking, what do you feel like is going to be the strength of this year's team based on what you've seen so far?
Well, I think pitching-wise, you know, I think depth as far as numbers of pitchers, I'm not sure we have the guy or a couple of guys that are head and shoulders above everybody, and you go, wow, those two guys are going to go give us a chance to win every game. But I think there's some depth there where guys can do some different things. I think that's important. Again, we may not have a guy go be a seven-inning type Friday night guy, but I think we have some kids that can go five. Then we have a number of kids that can give us six outs, and a number of kids can, you know, come in and have roles for us that we can piece together games. We like that to change in the future, but right now it's kind of what we see. You know, defensively, obviously, Coach Schwartz last year, I think they were in one of the top teams in the conference defensively. So we won't change up too much defensively on how we played. But offensively, obviously, the numbers weren't great last year. I think there's potential there. You know, T.J. Rockerbomber can have a little bit of a bounce-back year for us. Caden Williams, Patrick Hernandez, you know, those are three kids that I watch in the fall and go, you know what, there's some talent there. We just got to figure out how to put their game together and help them, you know, be a little bit better. So there's some components there, I think, offensively, but no one's really proven that except T.J. as a freshman. But then, unfortunately, last year, there's the fallback year. So really, again, we have a lot of kids that have something to prove offensively.
One big change that will be coming to MIAA baseball this year that was pretty recently announced is the fact that instant replay is going to be piloted this year. Emporia State is not one of the sites that was selected to be an instant replay test site for baseball, but what are your thoughts on instant replay coming to MIAA baseball? Do you love it? Do you hate it? And it'll be at four baseball sites this year, so you get a chance to see it on the road this season in the conference. What are your thoughts on replay?
TBD. So I think it's to be determined. I you know, I think you have to have the structure, the right sight lines to be able to really see instant replay. You know, for me, it's always going to be out safe at first, out safe at home. Those are kind of the two biggest issues you're always looking at. It gets a little dicey. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what they have at Pitt State or Central Missouri on a fair or foul down the line or a home run call. You know, I'll do that. Are they going to have those kind of camera angles? Are they going to have that quality of a camera to be able to see those things? Because those would be the next things that would be, you know, critical and very important in a game.
Did you guys have them? Did you guys have instant replay at Kansas State when you were coaching?
No, we did not.
Okay. So it'll be new for you, and also catch, no catch, and what can you challenge, and right, and all that. So it'll be interesting to see how that. I'm sorry I won't get to experience it, but I hopefully it'll be a positive experience for you. Final question for you here. Just your expectations for year one, and that doesn't necessarily, if you want to put a, you know, your, put your flag in the ground and say this is what's going to be a successful season, but I know for a lot of coaches it's just taking steps in the positive direction. Doesn't necessarily have to be a result for the year or a win total, but what's going to make you at the end of your first year say, you know what, this program took a positive step in the direction to get it to where I want to be in 5 years?
Yeah, I don't know if you can always do that in terms of wins and losses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at Kansas State it took about 6 years to get that thing as far as wins and losses were concerned. It took about 6 years to flip that thing around to where we're, you know, pretty consistent into the Big 12 tournament. I don't really want to be that long here, but at the same time, you know, can we just, you know, again, can you walk off the field and feel like you competed better, and we improve in some statistical categories that give you better chances to win? I think the, you know, the kids understanding what it's going to take to win. You know, how to make a pitch, how to get a big hit, how to make a big play that can be game-changing. And those will be things, again, that we kind of look at and helping the kids just kind of understand, again, you know, what it does take to win. At the end of the day, you talk about a few things and you move on and hope you get better.
Head coach Brad Hill, of course, play-by-play coverage is planned for Emporia State Baseball coming up this spring on your Voice of the Hornets, Mix 104.9. Coach, looking forward to the year with you. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you, Blake. Appreciate it.
Guys, that's all for me from now. Let's go back to you in the studio.
All right, thanks, Blake. A good conversation with ESU baseball coach Brad Hill. And now we turn our attention to some football. As obviously a huge game tomorrow, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Championship game. And, of course, that means our conversation with Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS, number 424-226. Good morning, Mitch. Is the adrenaline starting to flow as we speak?
It's been flowing all week long, tell you the truth. And your wife approves of the read. She found it very romantic and maybe provocative. So, we'll leave it at that. And by the way, did you, any of you guys were doing the Lyon County League tournament? The Brick was there once again. The best ref in Kansas works that tournament.
There you go.
Did any of your,
Did he do, did he do games, Mitch?
Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
So
maybe
Michael
came up and said hi. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, he's he loves that tournament. That's, he works all over the state, but he, that is his favorite tournament to work. He loves the history and the players and the coaches and the fans and the history of the league. He just, he's into all that, which but he treats that tournament with honor and he tries to give it all he's got. But Dan Schuerling is his name, former Olathe High Eagle. So before it was Olathe North. But yeah, he's the best ref in Kansas. Just ask him.
He'll tell you.
Yeah, he'll tell you. But he loves the Lyon County League tournament.
Well, it's a tremendous tournament. 103 years for the guy's side. It's just incredible.
Yes.
So, well, Mitch, I'm going to start, I guess, talking about the game in terms of the injuries because, man, no Joe Tooney. That's a big one, isn't it?
It's a big one. And Nick Allegretti has played really at a high level. His work at center, I know I keep going back to that Charger JV type game in week 18 and fans blow it off. But, God, there's so much importance to that that people don't realize. One was the refs for the starters, but the others was Nick Allegretti centered that whole game. The fact that he had to make the line calls, and he was the Creed Humphrey for the, every snap of that game, has helped him even get ready for this week. But I mean, he started in Super Bowl 55. He started that whole postseason. He's 12-1 as a starter in the regular season. and 2-1 as a starter in the playoffs. So it's almost like having a sixth starter on the offensive line. So I didn't lose sleep over that. Now, where it hurts you is Nick's also our extra lineman when we go six bigs. So now who is that going to be? Lucas Niang, Mike Caliendo? So it kind of just weakens you as you go down the line. But not having Joe Tooney, particularly against these guys, is significant.
What can you tell us about Mike Edwards, Isaiah Pacheco, and Willie Gay?
I would say good, good. Wait and see.
All right.
And I'm going to put an asterisk on all three of those, but I would say I would really expect, and I'm kind of in a hurry here trying to get to the blind, but at 9:01, that he would, Edwards would go, Pacheco would go, and Willie would be a game time decision.
Mitch, real quick, before I ask you something, Ron Thomas just texted me and said the Bricks stopped by their broadcast location when he was down here at the Lyon County League tournament. So. Hey, Mitch, you know, the defense continues to find ways to be in games and whatnot, but going against Lamar Jackson and that offense that the Chiefs will see tomorrow, what's key tomorrow for the defense to contain a really great dual threat quarterback in Lamar Jackson, who's probably the favorite to win the most valuable player?
Yeah, he'll win the MVP award. And he's had a year to deserve it, so go get it. Way to go. Now, let me go back to the Buffalo game. You mentioned the defense. It was a bit of a miracle. We may go another lifetime and not see a playoff game where a defense, the offense only had 43 snaps and got 27 points, and the defense had to play 78 snaps against a good team. But here's my point, here's part of my answer, was the fact that they are better prepared to play the Chiefs defense, to play Lamar Jackson and this Raiders offensive scheme and players because they played Buffalo the week before. The high school equivalent is when you play Smith Center, people are going, God, I wish I had 2 weeks for them because it's so unique in how they run and how precise they run the ball. And the same with Conway Springs. Running the single wing. Smith Center doesn't run the single wing, but it's the same concept. Well, this is as if you're Olpie and you get Smith Center and Conway Springs back-to-back. Coach now doesn't have to go through the basic principles of, man, you have got to be disciplined in your lane against this team. They're going to show you these certain, you've got your backside containment has to be there. You got to play it smart, and if we tell you to take the outside shoulder in the C-gap, you're going to take the outside shoulder in the C-gap. Anything off of that mark could be disaster, especially against Lamar Jackson. The college equivalent is if you're playing Army and Air Force in back-to-back weeks. No teams in the league have a quarterback-designed run game that can be explosive like Buffalo and Baltimore. And the Chiefs playing Buffalo, winning at Buffalo, helped them prepare to beat Baltimore tomorrow.
Well, Mitch, we talk about the defenses, and, man, it's incredible. You look at these two teams. You have the top two in fewest points allowed. You have the top two in sacks. Chiefs are number two in total defense. Ravens are sixth. Ravens tops in takeaways are number two in red zone defense. Man, I tell you what, taking care of the football, being efficient when you do get into the red zone, and then, of course, I think being able to run the football, those are some real keys tomorrow, aren't they?
For sure, and you got to stay balanced. Now, let me get to that, the biggest key on offense in a minute, but let me give you some notes on this Baltimore team and the defense. This defense is the first team in 54 years, the Ravens, 54 years to lead the league in scoring defense, lead the league in takeaways, as you mentioned, with 31. But it's not only that, Tim. They have 105 points off their 31 takeaways. Not all takeaways are the same. These guys are piranha in the fish tank. Third is those 60 sacks. A point about that is 44 of those 60 sacks were without any blitz at all, four-man pressure. And that's unique at any level. Now, I had a good chat yesterday with Patrick Mahomes. It was just a conversation, basically. He was doing stuff he normally has to do in the equipment room, and we were just chatting about it because I talked to Nags and Coach, and he kind of laid out how they do things. But that leads to the biggest key is you must stay away from third and long. The things that plague the Chiefs early in the year, the 3rd and 7 false start that makes it 3rd and 12, or the 2nd and 5 hold that makes it 2nd and 15, is lethal against the Baltimore Ravens. The 31 takeaways you and I have talked about, Tim, half of those literally have come on 3rd and long or 2nd and long. Behind the chains is jumping into the fish tank with the piranha against this team. Let me give you another stat that'll make Dylan feel a little queasy in the stomach. This is the Baltimore Ravens also have scored at a clip of 28 points a game. That's 25-plus points. That's one threshold. Two is to lead the league in rushing, and to lead the league in scoring defense, I believe, is the third one. Only 3 teams in the NFL have ever done that. Check off all 3 of those marks. 72 Dolphins, undefeated. The 85 Bears, and the 23 Ravens. So it puts them in company with what many think are the top 2 teams in NFL history. But I'll also give you what I think is the Chiefs' biggest advantage at some point in this conversation.
Mitch, last week, at Buffalo, we were able to see some really big catches, especially by Marquez Valdes-Scantling. What's big for the receivers tomorrow, knowing that Patrick Mahomes is, at his prime right now with playoff Patrick?
This team is kind of, they're playing the best football of the whole year right now. And it started with the week prior to the Bengals game. And since then, there has been, really, they have locked down concentration-wise. And I would tell you, my answer for any pass receiver tomorrow, backs, tight ends, or wide receivers, is you're going to get hit. This is an aggressive Baltimore team, and part of those takeaways is they like to jar the ball loose. So you got to catch it in traffic, and I mean having trucks hit you and hang on to the ball. But then also, once you have possession of the ball, you must protect it like you're in a safe deposit box somewhere in your body, because these guys will rip it apart even after a play of 15 to 20 yards. That's their modus operandi. Extreme concentration, extreme toughness. But, guys, that's exactly what the Chiefs played with last week at Buffalo. That was a cauldron. You realize the Chiefs only had 1 offensive penalty in that game and 0 false starts.
Yes.
In a wild crowd. That was a wild crowd.
Yes.
This will be wild tomorrow. Not as wild as last week, but it'll be wild to stay away from those stakes.
Mitch, there's also an intriguing matchup in the kicking game. Butker and Tucker, the 2 best in the football.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure. And Tucker's the best all-time accuracy. If Butt gets one from 50, he'll tie Adam Vinatieri for the most postseason 50-plus yard field goals in NFL history. And Tucker's like, I didn't do that. But, yes, and I'm going to give you another one. Let me give you another one, and this is where the Chiefs may get a tipping point in this game. In fact, I'll just go out there, and why not? I'm gonna predict the Chiefs block a punt in this game.
Yeah.
Stout, the punter, 2nd year, is near the bottom of the league, and he has struggled. Now, that kid last week, Martin at Buffalo, shouldn't have played the game. He hurt his hamstring the week before. They brought in Matt Hawk, but I think it was one of those, no, I can do it, because he didn't want someone to come in and replace him, and he was awful. Every punt he had was a quack job. This guy takes a little bit longer. And remember, he gave up a punt return for a touchdown last week, and he did against Pittsburgh. He's the only one of 6 punters this year to have a punt blocked. The kicking game is enormous, not just these 2 place kickers, but these 2 punters. And Jack Cochran, the South Dakota Coyote, 2nd-year undrafted free agent dude, has been within, I don't know, the valve stem of your tire to getting a blocked punt. We may get one tomorrow. In fact, I'll just put it out there and say we will get one.
All right.
All right, Mitch, so give
clip
us...
it, clip this, and if I'm right, play it again.
Hey, I really liked the Top Gun reference last week that you told us, and then when I was able to hear your call last week, Sunday night, and... I'm like, hey, he said that to us. So, but yeah, that was special. But what's big for the Chiefs to get back to the Super Bowl?
Well, in 28 years, I've tipped you guys off because I'm usually the last conversation like now before I run to the plane. And I knew that was coming. Like, it was like, that'll pretty much cover Patrick Mahomes hasn't won a road playoff game. I'm so frustrated with that, and hadn't played in one. Like, no, Super Bowl 55 was one. But still, it was, it's Viper walking out and goes, I guess that'll pretty much cover the flyby, and then walked off. Because I want some bucks, and I want them now. here's the biggest advantage for the Chiefs in this game. This is the AFC Championship. Lamar Jackson's never played in it. This Ravens team is really good. 28 of their 53-man roster got their first playoff wins last week against Houston at home. All of the pressure is on Baltimore in this game. We've been there. Tim, the historian, can tell you we've been in this position where we thought it is all set up to go. The Chiefs are going in there to the mouth of the dragon with sabers drawn, ready to win this game. The roster for the Chiefs combined of the 53 guys, and we'll add Pinnell as an elevation later today, have a combined 319 playoff victories. Our first and second year players, mentioned Jack Cock, last year's rookies, this year's rookies, together have a combined 49-0 record in the playoffs. When you have young talent and experience at this level, it gives you a fighting chance. Boys, we have a fighting chance in this game. We're on house money, and we've been there and done that. And sometimes that's enough. That's the Patriots when they beat us in 18, in almost an exact scenario, what this is like. If we shift the pressure to these dudes early in the game, they're going to get real uncomfortable.
Well, it's just setting up for just a tremendous AFC Championship game, and it's going to be a thrilling game to follow. We are definitely irritated in our market, Mitch, that we don't have your broadcast here, and that's still
Don't even get me started on this.
It's a thorn in the side, Mitch.
Don't even get me started on this. Oh, tell me a thorn in the side. It's more of a pain in my...
Well, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous, and it's a Westwood One NFL thing, and it's brutal. Now, you can get all the pregame, give you all the postgame. Yep. We take it right up to the final second. We'll pick it up. I don't want to take them away from your air because you got local advertisers in that game, so go ahead and listen. But if you want to listen online, there's a place you can. But it irritates me to no end when this happens. It's the least favorite thing for me about the AFC Championship game, and it's brutal that we're the largest network in the league. We now have the number one rated network in the league in the 27th market, and we don't get to carry this game to our masses. It stinks.
Yep, it does. Yeah. It really does. Mm-hmm. But, we will, of course, still continue to follow and hopefully get a big Chiefs win and back to the Super Bowl.
You got it. And, Dylan, I ain't getting on that plane until I hear it, brother. This is the AFC Championship.
Mitch, my
my
weekend has been good so far. Last night, I called a big Lady Spartan win over Derby, ranked 7th and 6A. They won 7 straight coming in. Emporia High had 6-game winning streak going in, down 13 and down 11 at halftime, come back and win the game by 8 in overtime. They're playing for a tournament title today against Blue Valley, ranked 8th in 6A. That's going to be a really big game in the Glacier's Edge tournament. This is the 50th annual. Emporia High looks for its 15th. And I got a big boys game later on tonight as well, as they get Manhattan in a makeup game. So I'm busy, and so I want to call some really good basketball today, hopefully get 2 wins, and hopefully the Chiefs can get back to that place where every Chiefs fan wants them to be. So I'm going to take a deep breath.
You're trying to save your voice is what
yes,
you're telling me.
Yes,
yes.
But I'm going to give
save
you,
your voice, my
I'm
friend.
Going to give you well, a another solid one.
Here's another one, though, buddy. We also can tape this sometime when you don't have the biggest games in the history of the Glacier's Edge since the Glacier, and we can just put it on tape and then just hit the file, boys.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can, you know what, just give me a little bit.
Yeah, I'll give you a good one.
Just give me a woo-hoo to who, and we're ready.
All righty. Woo-woo-woo-woo-woo!
That's enough.
That It'll is enough. It. All righty.
Yep, go win those tournaments, call great games. And, Tim, I know you're busy, too, so keep it rolling, and we'll go get us a Lamar Hunt trophy for the fourth time in 5 years.
Absolutely.
Bring it home.
Can't wait.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. See you guys.
All right. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, and again, Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424-226. Before we get out of here, let's just run down the schedule here real quick. Emporia High girls playing for the Glacier's Edge Tournament Championship today, 1:40 pregame, 2 o'clock kick. I'm still thinking about football. Tip-off right. from Emporia High. And then, of course, we'll have the boys' game then to follow as they play their makeup game against Manhattan, 5:45 pregame, 6 o'clock tip for the boys' contest. Then on Country 101.7 FM, of course, coverage of the Lyon County Basketball Tournament. We'll have the third-place games, both boys and girls, and, of course, the championship games later on. Our coverage will start just a little bit before 3 o'clock. Third-place games, Madison, Merzine Valley on the girls' side. The boys' game will have Burlingame and Madison. And then for the championship, it's the same two schools, Lebo and Olpe, will square off in both the girls' and the boys' contest. We will have Emporia State, of course, basketball later on this afternoon on Mix 104.9. Emporia State playing at Fort Hays. Blake Cripps will call those games for you. Women will start at 2 o'clock. We'll have a 1:30 pregame. Again, that's on Mix 104.9. The men's game will follow. Our first game of the day actually is in the Big 12. Kansas State playing at Houston. Boy, that will be a tough task for the Wildcats, as that will be on Country 101.7 FM. 10 o'clock pregame, so we're about 45 minutes away. 11 o'clock tip from Houston. No KU on our airwaves today. They will play at Iowa State, 12:30 tip from Ames. And I think that is our schedule for today. And, of course, tomorrow, Chiefs against the Baltimore Ravens, AFC Championship game. You can actually hear that on KVOE AM and Country 101.7 FM, 1 o'clock pregame, 2 o'clock kickoff from Baltimore. And then on the AM side, we will have the NFC Championship game to follow. The Detroit Lions in the NFC Championship game taking on the San Francisco 49ers, 5:40 pregame for that particular contest. So I think that's everything, Dylan.
That is everything, Tim Miller.
All right, so have a good call.
Thank you.
Multiple good calls today.
Yes, I'm excited. I'm getting ready to go do pregame with Coach Dorsey and Coach Baldwin. I encourage if you can't make it out to Spartan Gymnasium, we'll have them for you here on KVOE. But both these teams need your support. This is a stretch where I'm not going to be a road warrior the next couple weeks. You got home games left and right. So don't have to travel again until February 9th. Feels good.
So an opportunity to go out and see some good basketball at Emporia High School. That will wrap it up for us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. For Dylan Sherwood, I'm Tim Miller. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Since 1939, news, weather, and sports. KVOE, 1400 AM Emporia, 96.9 FM, K245BQ Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. A trial date for suspected murderer Brian Koberger, accused of killing four University of Idaho students, could still be a year away. The defense requesting proceedings start in the summer of 2025, telling the judge the team has only spoken to 10% of the 400 potential witnesses. More from ABC's Jacqueline Lee.
Koberger's attorney is adamant she won't be ready, and she needs to